He is credited with paving the way for a new field in economics. And now US academic Richard H. Thaler has been awarded a Nobel Prize for his work. The Economist awarded for his contributions to the field of behavioral economics. His theories showing how human traits affect supposedly rational markets. It's nudge economics, where humans are subtly guided without heavy-handed compulsion.
So while, of course, progress will not always be smooth, I believe we can prove the doomsayers wrong. A new deep and special partnership between a sovereign United Kingdom and a strong and successful European Union is our ambition and our offer to our European friends. And as we look forward to the next stage, the ball is in their court. But I'm optimistic it will receive a positive response.
Uber seems to be taking a more conciliatory strategy in dealing with its troubles in Europe. Suspending a service in Oslo, Norway called Uber Pop, its baseline budget option there that allows any driver without a taxi license to participate. Uber Pop's use of unlicensed drivers allowed it to circumvent laws that would govern a normal taxi. That as opposed to Uber X, which uses licensed drivers and is the main option for customers in places like New York and London.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October 10th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day as well. Lots to talk about in the program today. A little bit later on, the Sesame Workshop. You know them for the folks behind Sesame Street. They've announced the first ever comprehensive initiative to help children deal with and cope with the traumatic experiences. And we will talk with the Sesame Workshop, you know, the folks behind Big Bird and Grover and Cookie Monster, coming up to talk a little bit more about how your kids, how you might be able to help kids deal with the catastrophes that we've seen going on in the world lately. That's later in the show. We'll bring in our first guest momentarily. It's the story of Vivian Meyer, the photographer and street photographer and Chicago nanny. There's a new book out that tells the story of her life. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we begin in Asia, where share prices are mostly higher after a Wall Street rally took a breather overnight. Investors are waiting for trade data from China this week, keeping an eye on geopolitical risks centered on North Korea. The Asian Dow is a little bit higher this morning by about 0.5%. The Nikkei is up more than 0.5%. Same story for the Hang Seng and Shanghai this morning. In Europe, markets are generally lower, with the markets in Germany and France leading the way. In London, the markets are up just about 0.25%. And in this country, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up 10, S&P futures up 3, and oil trading at $50.01 a barrel, almost up 0.5% this morning. A couple of stories we're watching for you. The Trump administration, through the EPA, plans to act today to override an Obama-era rule limiting carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants, closely aligned with the oil and gas industry. The announcement will be made by Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt of Oklahoma. Pruitt has rejected the consensus of scientists that man-made emissions from burning fossil fuels are primary drivers of global climate change. Yesterday, speaking in Kentucky, he said he would issue the new set of rules overriding the Clean Power Plan, the centerpiece of the President Obama's drive to curb climate change, at some point today. There's also a big meeting in Cook County today. Cook County officials are expected to make a major step toward repealing the beverage tax. The County Board's Finance Committee meets today to vote on a measure to repeal the unpopular penny per ounce tax. Commissioner Sean Morrison last week said he has enough yes votes to eliminate the tax effective December 1st withstand any potential veto. That vote again coming today in the Finance Committee of the Cook County Board. You've probably heard the story of Vivian Meyer. She's said to be a reclusive Chicago nanny who wandered the streets of the city taking photographs, which generally remained unseen until being discovered in an abandoned storage locker. The quality and beauty of those photos turned the relative unknown into a master of 20th century American art photography. And the author of a new book is with us this morning, Pamela Banos. She's an assistant professor of art theory and practice at Northwestern University. The name of the book is Vivian Meyer, A Photographer's Life and Afterlife. Pamela, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air. Good morning.
Oh, I've been sitting here listening to the show. Good morning to you.
Well, congratulations on the book. I know you've been working on this a long time. And you found really that the story we all thought we knew about Vivian Myers, not really true, is it?
Well, a lot of it isn't true, and it's because of the way that it was being told, both by the person who assumed her voice, essentially, because he owned the majority of her legacy, but also through the voices of the people who she chose not to share her life with, the people who hired her, who have gotten to tell her own story.
The biggest part of this is that she wasn't a nanny who was also a photographer. She was, as you write, a photographer who was supporting herself as a nanny.
Yes, and that's how I position her and portray her in my book, and that's how I think she saw herself, that she was very secretive and private with her own life, that she was very public in her practice as she would roam the streets, and she was very visible and very conspicuous, but she didn't share that practice with the people whose homes within where she was living. And so, again, the story that we know are from the people who got to tell it for her, but she was very public in her practice, and I think she saw herself as a photographer, which is how I'm portraying her in my book.
Her work is beautiful. Some of the photographs, it's too bad we're on the radio. We'd love to show them, but anybody who has seen them knows that they're just absolutely wonderful photographs. Do you think she would have been comfortable being in the public spotlight as she is today with these photographs? Because many, as I mentioned in the open, do consider her a master of this art.
You know, that's a tricky question, because what's also notable about her story is that she didn't share any of these photographs. And she chose not to share them. And so, for me, there's an ethical dilemma with that, because we have somebody who very consciously chose not to share her photographs that we are all indulging in and loving so much because they are wonderful. So it's hard to guess what she would have thought about this, because on the one hand, there's this massive exposure, and on the other hand, there's this celebration. So what I never try to step into her mind to try to, like, portray what she was ever thinking. What I've tried to do in my book is sort of lay out what's happened and let us all think about it from our own perspective. So it's hard to know. That's a really difficult question, and something that I was always thinking about as I was also portraying her.
Well, I want to get into more of the book, and we'll continue our conversation, Pamela, coming up with you. First, we need to take a quick break. Pamela Banos is with us, assistant professor of art theory practice at Northwestern, but also the author of Vivian Myers, A Photographer's Life and Afterlife.
Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. The National Retail Federation is predicting consumers will spend more this holiday season, at least about 3.5% more. There is one big unknown: how the impact of hurricanes Harvey and Irma will affect spending along the Gulf Coast and Florida. Consumers who are repairing and rebuilding their homes may have to limit their holiday spending. Some stores damaged during the storms might not reopen in time for the holidays. Share prices were mixed in early trading Tuesday in Asia. Investigators are awaiting trade data from China this week and keeping an eye on geopolitical risks centered on North Korea. Losses for healthcare companies and banks left U.S. stocks lower Monday. The S&P 500 dipped about 5 points. The Dow Jones shed about 13 points. The Nasdaq fell 10 points. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Pamela Banos. She's the author of a new book about Vivian Myers, the street photographer. It's called Vivian Myers, A Photographer's Life and Afterlife. Pamela, I saw a review of your book. Somebody described your work as nearly forensic in its cataloging the life or what you found of Vivian Myers. And so that kind of gives you the opportunity to tell us about this myth that was created and people who profited off Vivian's life. What did you find with that?
Well, there are many myths about the way that her story has been told, and that's because it was told by people who didn't know her and who didn't see all of her photographs. The forensic approach that I take is to tell her story by looking at her photographs themselves, and I spent 2 years sorting tens of thousands of photographs chronologically and geographically so that I could put in order the way that I wanted to tell her story through her photographs. And so some of the myths had to do with the assumptions that were made about her being what I call the photographer savant, as if she just appeared out of nowhere and was completely brilliant to start with. So I went back to the earliest known of her photographs and established that she was already quite sophisticated as soon as her first pictures appear that we have. And that's part of the problem with the way that we have her story, is that her legacy was scattered. We don't know where all of her photographs are. So her photographs begin in 1950, and we don't know what happened before that. So we can never assume the story the way that it's been told with such certainty, or, you know, with the assumption of authority.
The story also is about who really owns her work. That was a big part of your research, wasn't it?
Well, you know what? I started my research back 5 years ago in 2012, when I was just looking at her photographs and trying to understand her as a photographer. And then the story of the afterlife, that's the two parts of my book, kept changing and kept evolving until 2014, when the copyright was challenged by an outsider, because most of the story was taking place right here in Chicago during this time. And somebody challenged the copyright, and it ended up in the Cook County Probate Court, which is now in the hands of the supervised public administrator. So just the way that I was tracking and trying to tell the story kept changing. So the book kept changing as the different players started shifting in importance, because now Cook County is in charge of her copyright, and that happened as the story was evolving, and I was just kept writing it as the story was changing.
As much as you've learned about Vivian Meyer, there's still a big chunk that we don't know, right? I mean, there's a part of the book you talk about the missing part of her life, a big chunk of her life.
Well, her life, I mean, that I was able to track starts with her photographs, but before that I was able to trace her family history leading up to when she does emerge as a photographer and her voice comes forward. And what I found is that I think she was shuttled around from foster homes to her mother taking her away to France, and there's some gaps in that story because, you know, this is in the 1930s. She was born in 1926. So there's gaps in her childhood that I think I can fill by the documents that I found. But there's many gaps because she was secretive and she didn't tell people about her history. So I tried to keep the story about her as a photographer through her photographs. So soon as her photographs emerge, that's how I end up telling the story. And the gaps have to do with the unknown questions that, you know, don't appear in the photographs, or that people who, again, like I said, you know, were chosen to represent her, ironically, were the people who she chose to not share of herself. And so, you know, the missing gaps, and that's what creates the myths about her, because she also, I think, invented herself in many ways. She invented herself as a street photographer while she was living in people's homes caring for their children, you know, so that becomes the representation. You know, she invented herself in the stories she told others. She told somebody she was sort of a spy or a sort of spy, which, you know, I say every street photographer should be, to be able to, you know, to photograph and being invisible on the street and witness.
What do you think her legacy will be now that you've completed this work and people are starting to dig into it?
Well, you know what? People are now sending me photographs of where they're finding my books in as they're receiving the books and as they're appearing on bookshelves. And what was the most gratifying is the other day, someone sent me a photograph of my book on the shelf of my favorite bookstore in New York City, and it's on the art biography section. So I feel like, you know, now here's her story as an artist, and I feel like I've just achieved that for her, because she's no longer the mysterious nanny. She's now an artist, and there's an art biography of her.
Wonderful. Pamela, thank you for being with us this morning. Best of luck. Congratulations again with the book.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And Pamela Banos, the assistant professor of art theory at Northwestern University, also the author of Vivian Meyer, A Photographer's Life and Afterlife, and this is published by the University of Chicago Press.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. A new Chicago startup wants to take on Netflix with a twist. Streaming video startup Industry TV just launched and has 60 shows, movies, and other content available. Its programs are interactive, meaning you can purchase an item featured in the show right in the app. Zunum Aero, a Seattle-based electric airplane startup, announced it's opening a second Chicago development center. The battery-powered plane is funded by Boeing and JetBlue and will have 15 Chicago employees by 2018. Northwestern Mutual, the 160-year-old insurance giant, wants to reverse pitch startups to help solve company challenges. They're courting Chicago companies and will pitch startups next month. And former Bull Michael Jordan is using his voice to help land Amazon's second headquarters, but not for Chicago. The Hornets owner wrote a letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos pitching Charlotte as a destination for Amazon's HQ2. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us this morning, and good morning. 5:41 on our Tuesday edition of the program. Sesame Street is launching a new program to help children cope with traumatic experiences. The whole gang will get in. Big Bird, Grover, Cookie Monster, all pitching in to help.
Oh, thank you, Alan. You give the best hug.
Oh, anytime, Big Bird. You need one, you just ask. You feel any better?
A little bit. Ooh. I'm going to go get my teddy bear radar. I'll be right back.
Okay, that's a clip from the website, Sesame Street Communities, in Communities. And we're happy to have with us today Dr. Jeanette Betancourt, Senior Vice President of Community and Family Engagement at Sesame Workshop. Doctor, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is very timely in the sense of what we've seen recently in Las Vegas and with the hurricanes. What is behind the initiative and why is it important?
It's important because we know that over half of children experience one or more traumatic experiences over their early years, and more than ever, as you pointed out, there are difficult situations that children and families are facing, and these wonderful resources are designed to help them cope and develop strategies to handle these difficult situations.
In many situations, parents, as we've seen, especially after Las Vegas, seem almost helpless to know what to do or how to do it. Will this provide sort of a guidepost?
Absolutely, and it's designed to do exactly that. It's providing our wonderful, the power of our wonderful Muppets to demonstrate and model some strategies like deep breathing to calm yourself down and also to think of a safe space when you're feeling a little frightened or anxious, but also ways to express those big feelings. But most important, modeling ways that grown-ups and children can talk about these difficult situations in a safe and nurturing manner.
We played a clip from the beginning there with Big Bird and one of the characters from Sesame Street. It seems always, I grew up with Sesame Street, that just the just watching the characters interact with each other is a calming experience. They always seemed like friendly people and friendly voices and faces. Is that part of the charm and part of the success that makes Sesame Street so successful?
Absolutely. It's the history that we have, and believe it or not, in 2019 we'll experience 50 years of doing exactly that, coming together and bringing grown-ups and children in a safe place, but also inviting children in to participate, and that's what we do with our Muppets. And in this case, it's really dealing with those very difficult situations, from anything from facing a divorce to witnessing violent acts to anything that becomes very difficult in their lives that they need to talk about.
We've clicked into the website this morning, SesameStreetInCommunities.org. And maybe you could tell us how this is going to work, because I know initially when we clicked on the page, it asked us who we were, whether we were a parent or caregiver or someone else. How does the process work? What will we see on the website?
Well, the process works that it is engaging all the important adults in children's lives, and that includes parents and caregivers, but also those community service providers, those people in the communities who are also helping children and families. So when you come into the website, you can identify yourself as one or the other. When you come in as a community provider, you also benefit from quite a bit of professional development that we have there on how to even further use these materials with children and families. But if you go as a parent or even a caregiver like a grandmother or grandfather, these materials are also easily designed so that you can use them in the moment, whether on your cell phone, on your laptop, on your tablet, and incorporate them as you're seeing children having these experiences, not just in the moment, but throughout their time as they're growing up.
And that's a wonderful part of this because you find a moment where children seem to be comfortable and in a place that's safe. This would be a perfect opportunity to do that as opposed to, you know, pull them aside into a computer room or something like that.
That's right. It's that idea we know with young kids, right? They may bring something up just if you're walking together to the park or you're traveling to school together. It's in the moment, and those are the times that we need to really intervene a bit. And these resources are designed to help adults have conversations with young children, but also provide the comfort for young children that they need in these moments of difficult times.
What are the ages involved here? I know on the drop-down it says from 0 to 4 or 4 to 6 years old. Is that generally the time when kids need this sort of nurturing?
You know, kids need nurturing throughout their growing years, but particularly in these early years, because we know that their brain development is being nourished through these interactions. But more importantly, a lot of times young kids don't have the words to explain their feelings. And this is what these resources actually help them do, provide the words and the conversations that adults and children can engage together in a really safe and nurturing manner.
Dr. Betancourt, thank you for being with us this morning. And I don't know if, in your experience, which one of the characters gives the best hug, but I'm betting that Grover probably gives the best hugs.
You know, it's the thing when we are working here that all of our Muppets are our children, and they all give the best hugs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you again, and best of luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
Dr. Jeanette Betancourt, Senior Vice President of Community and Family Engagement at Sesame Workshop. You can find more at SesameStreetInCommunities.org.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street at 8:30 this morning. Dow futures up 35 points. NASDAQ futures are up about 11. S&P futures are up about 4. Gold and silver are also trading a little bit higher this morning. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at the trading in livestock the first day of the week, live cattle hit a two-week high on technical buying and improved beef demand. Front month October live cattle gained for the third straight session, settling up 40 cents to $111.42 a pound. And most active December unchanged at $116.92. November feeder cattle, well, down about 25 cents to $155.50. The wholesale pork went up 93 cents yesterday, 73.54 per hundredweight. Cash hogs in the top market of Iowa, southern Minnesota, climbed 42 cents. And October hogs down 15 cents at $59 a hundredweight. Turning to the grain market yesterday, we saw the wheat futures fall to a near four-week low. Plentiful global inventories and weak demand for U.S. supplies. Soybeans turned down after touching a two-week high, and then corn drifted lower on a day when U.S. government offices, including the Department of Agriculture, were closed for the Columbus Day holiday. And as a result, we'll be getting the harvest progress reports this afternoon. So the worries about dry conditions in parts of Brazil helped underpin soy futures yesterday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of other stories that we're watching for you this morning. First, American International Group, AIG, expects to record insurance losses of roughly $3 billion during the third quarter from the recent hurricanes and earthquakes. AIG says it expects to record pre-catastrophe losses between $2.9 billion and $3.1 billion during the quarter because of damage it will cover from Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria, and earthquakes that struck Mexico. The AIG CEO says the company has acted quickly to provide money for those claims. In California, the wildfires are still burning, and the famed wine country is in the crosshairs. The wildfires have destroyed at least two wineries so far and damaged many others, in addition to many homes of people living in the Napa Valley. The trade association Napa Valley Vintners says most grapes already have been picked, but there have been power outages and workers need to process the grapes. So we'll be watching that as well. The labor union SAG-AFTRA has issued a statement condemning disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's alleged sexual harassment and has acknowledged it is an issue that is prevalent in the entertainment industry. The organization says that everyone has the right to work in an environment free of discrimination and harassment and pledges to do more to ensure safety of women. It also provided the number for a safety hotline that is included on every member's card, encouraging anyone who is in a threatening situation to call. SAG-AFTRA represents 160,000 actors, performers, and media professionals across the country. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Tuesday, October 10th. The International Monetary Fund forecasts chapters 1 and 2 of the latest World Economic Outlook, the biannual analysis and projections of economic developments at the global level. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is in Washington until tomorrow. He expects to meet with President Trump tomorrow, take part in the Fortune's Most Powerful Women Summit today. It's unclear whether the two leaders will talk about the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, which is currently being renegotiated. Also, Japan's defense chief is warning of a possible North Korean provocation today. The North celebrates as the founding of the North Korean Communist Party. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, October 10th.